This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening today. On the same page is the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County's citywide reading program. On the same page is now in its 13th year, and each year a book is chosen and discussed and learned from. And this year, April Smith's A Star for Mrs. Blake is the choice for On the Same Page, which is running now through March and will include a visit to Cincinnati by April Smith coming up the 1st of March. I'll tell you about that in just a couple of minutes. But right now on the phone with me from her home in California is the author, April Smith, author of A Star for Mrs. Blake. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, April.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure and an honor to be chosen for this All City Reads program. I really appreciate it. Thank you to the folks of Cincinnati and the librarians.
I wanted to ask what it's like for an author to know that your book is being spotlighted and, well, examined so thoroughly by so many people in one place.
It's kind of a dream. It's what you wish for and what you're really grateful for. But I think in this case, the choice goes further than the novel itself. It really goes into the deeper issues and fascination with the aftermath of World War One, and specifically those who were here on the home front during that war and what they experienced.
Well, A Star for Mrs. Blake is a historical novel about five Gold Star mothers and their journey to France to see where their loved ones are buried in the aftermath of World War One. Let's begin with the Gold Star mothers. What makes a Gold Star mother? Because I know this is a tradition. I understand what's going on here, but many folks who don't have someone in the armed forces aren't familiar with what the Blue Star and the Gold Star are all about. Would you mind explaining that to begin with?
Well, it's very true. Even people in the military today don't know the phrase Gold Star mother. It started with a tradition in World War One and World War Two, where when you had a child who was in the service, you put a blue star in your window to show that your family was supporting the war in that way. And if you had more than one child, of course, it was usually a son in those days, you would have two stars or even two blue stars. And then if that soldier were killed, you put a gold star over the blue star. Now, these banners of honor were often homemade. They were created through crochet or knitting or just sewing fabrics together. Or you could buy them commercially, but they were pretty common then. What happened, sadly, is that during the Vietnam era, this tradition disappeared because I think during that time, veterans did not receive the honor that they deserved, and because of the political situation, it wasn't safe to put a star in your window and announce that you were supporting the troops that way. But luckily, that has turned around. And now the Gold Star Mothers National Organization is very active, as well as the Blue Star Mothers. And they work on behalf of veterans. And they, I think they would like their voices to be heard a little more strongly now. So this is good timing to bring this up.
This story, or this book, actually grew out of an encounter you had some 25 years ago. Why did it take so long to come to light and share the story of what sparked your book, A Star for Mrs. Blake?
Well, it started with a diary that was kept by a young officer just out of West Point named Thomas Hammond. And he was assigned to shepherd these mothers on the tours from New York City on a first-class ocean liner to Paris, to Verdun, and eventually to the graves. The women were organized according to where their sons fought and died, and so that was the only thing they had in common when they started this journey. And this young 24-year-old boy, who could have been their son, was in charge of monitoring them, along with a young nurse. So this young man, Thomas Hammond, kept a diary of his experiences with these older ladies. And that diary was shown to me by his son, Nicholas Hammond, who some of you may know as an actor. He played Friedrich in the original Sound of Music. And yes, his family is a military family. So he showed me his dad's diary. So my first introduction to the whole story of the Gold Star Mothers was through the eyes of a rather, you know, cynical in some ways and amazed 24-year-old boy, which was a story. That's just a story. You know, having a kid taking care of five ladies on a trip. And why it took me 25 years, it took that long to really understand all the complexities of what they faced, of the battles that were fought. I was also, by the way, having children and writing TV movies. And I have written also for mystery thrillers. So it evolved, and it took a long time to absorb, but when the time was ready, I was ready.
Well, let's share the backstory as well about the Gold Star Mothers and these trips that they took, because this was something that was an act of Congress back in 1929.
Right. It began in 1919. A piece of legislation was put in front of Congress by Mayor LaGuardia of New York, and it really was a form of compensation for the loss of the wage earners in the families for the surviving mothers and children and wives. But it took 10 years to get through Congress, and really it wasn't without the lobbying and support of some of the wealthier women who had lost their children, who went to Washington and went before Congress and said, we need to take care of the military families. And they got it passed in 1929, and Congress allowed it $5 million to send every eligible wife and mother to Europe to find closure in this loss. It's unprecedented, and it never happened again.
World War I took a terrible toll on America. It seems that there'd be quite a few mothers and wives who would have been affected by this.
Well, yeah, we sent over 4.3 million soldiers to fight, and of those, 116,519 were killed over there. And of those, about 30,000 American boys are buried overseas. So you had 30,000 boys, and for every boy, a mother. And out of that number, almost 7,000 American women chose to make this journey. Now, it's what's interesting is how difficult the decision was to leave the remains of your son there or have them brought back to the United States. And there were many factors that went into that decision. The government would pay for the transport, but many families just didn't have the money during the Depression for a funeral. And the other argument for leaving them where they fell was that it was patriotic to make a statement to our allies that we supported them and we wanted to perpetuate the sense of our sacrifice and theirs, because many, many more Europeans were killed than Americans on their soil.
I'm speaking with April Smith, the author of A Star for Mrs. Blake. It's this year's On the Same Page book. On the Same Page, the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County's citywide reading program underway right now and running through March with book discussion groups beginning soon. And April Smith herself will be in Cincinnati March 7th for appearances at the Mercantile Library and Joseph F. Booksellers, and March 8th at the Main Library. We have information about all this at wvxu.org, as well as more information about On the Same Page and the book, A Star for Mrs. Blake. And I wanted to ask you, April, you mentioned it, you know, life and its distractions. It took 25 years to bring this book to the publisher, but it's very timely here on the 100th anniversary of the start of World War One.
I know, and I could not have planned that any better.
Oh, I didn't know whether you were pressured to bring it out for the anniversary or if it was just a happy happenstance.
I wrote this book on spec. I just decided that I was tired of trying to sell it to people, because I would try to sell it to people, and I'd say, by people, I mean people in Hollywood, because I was writing for television, and even publishers. But nobody is interested, because they thought, oh, a bunch of old ladies on a boat. Oh, who cares? It's period. It's World War One. But I was passionate about telling the story of those who carry the burden of the nation's war. and do not have a voice to express it. Gold Star mothers don't march in parades. They don't get medals. They don't get interviewed. They don't get, quote, the glory. They just live with it every day. And that stayed with me for 25 years. So finally, I wrote the book without any contract. I just wrote it. And then I submitted it to my publisher, and then the wheels started to turn. And when we realized that we were a year away from the centenary, my editor really pushed to get it out early. So it was published in January, so that we'd get ahead of the crowd, hopefully, in all the flood of information, but thankfully awareness that's going to come this year in terms of World War One.
I wanted to say this was as educational as it was entertaining as I was reading, because you have five Gold Star mothers that are quite the collection. You've already made reference in a statement just a few minutes ago. Talk about the only thing they had in common is that they were Gold Star mothers and had lost a loved one in the war.
You have to remember that the 1930s were a very raw time culturally in America. There was a lot of ethnic and racial prejudice, very strong out there, and it's minimized in the book, but it is very present. So you have our main character, Cora Blake, who is a librarian from Deer Isle, Maine. You have an African-American seamstress named Selma. We have a Boston Brahmin who's incredibly wealthy. Her family owns a railroad. A lower-class Irish maid named Katie. And the wife of a Jewish chicken farmer named Minnie Siebert. So the group is incredibly diverse, and that's part of the story, that they were thrown together with people they'd never met, customs they'd never seen before. I mean, whoever ate a snail, you know,
right.
On the way to France.
Well, and a lovely story you have in the book about bouillabaisse, too. So,
what are those tentacles, and are they still alive? That's an issue.
Yes. But you had these women all experiencing this and, you know, very much heartlifting in the way they do learn to understand each other.
Yes, that's hopefully part of the journey for them and for the reader, to start with them, see the experience through each of their eyes in a different way. And it's very different for each of them, especially our African-American mom, Selma, who is segregated from the rest of the group, because that is the way it was in those days. The black mothers were separated and segregated from the white mothers, and they went on tramp steamers while the white mothers went on first-class cruise ships. They had different food and different itineraries. And working that into the narrative, making that believable, making you feel it, was crucial to me, because that talks about America in those days.
Well, you cover so many different facets of life and the universe as we know it in this book, especially when it comes to man and war and the after effect. What, you know, as you wrote this, what were you hoping would provoke the most conversation? Because there are so many things here that, as you read A Star for Mrs. Blake, so many different things you have to stop and think about and examine as a reader what your own belief systems are. What are you hoping is the conversation that's most often provoked by the book?
I hope the conversation is about the moms and about the role of women in war, and about reevaluating our individual responsibility and participation in these kind of decisions by inference, because these women had no say. They didn't even have the vote until 3 years after the war. So my hope is that the reader looks at that and thinks about where we are today and how much power and access, not only women, obviously, but families and men and everyone in society has in determining these policies about war. And that the kind of detailed and, I hope, objective description of the battles in World War One, which are part of the book, the new technologies that invented different ways of killing people, are again seen in the context of today and where we put our money and where we put our commitments. That And that you reach these thoughts through an emotional journey, not, you know, a lecture, but that you penetrate into the characters' lives and feel what they feel. And when you feel something, you might act on it.
You did a lot of research and spent a lot of years working on A Star for Mrs. Blake, and you traveled to Maine and Paris and New York City and other places in France. What were you most taken with as you researched the story of these five Gold Star mothers and their journey to France in the aftermath of World War One?
I was just shocked and silenced by the battlefields. I actually took the tours of the battlefields in Meuse-Argonne with my own son, Benjamin, at the time. This was several years ago. And it was because he had been studying in Italy, and we just made this a side trip because, you see, I was collecting things along the way, collecting material. So we went to the battlefields, and if anyone has ever been to any battlefield, whether it's Gettysburg or Manassas or, you know, anywhere, it is one of the most solemn and penetrating experiences because the violence, the death, they just linger in the air. It's different. That was awesome. And in the book, you'll follow Cora as she explores the old trenches that are still there, which I did, and walking through the overgrown forest and seeing the shallow graves of the trenches and the German bunkers that were built there over 3 years. They spent 3 years building bunkers with little trains that went to them and electric lights. It was just astonishing that all of this preparation went into battle. Also on these fields, there still are explosives. You can't walk on all of them, but you can pick up artifacts. And I had in my hand lead balls and little perfume bottles that they drank schnapps out of. And that made it just chillingly real.
Thank you for the story, and I look forward to seeing you when you're in Cincinnati.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
April Smith, author of A Star for Mrs. Blake. The historical novel is this year's On the Same Page book. On the Same Page, the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County citywide reading program. As I mentioned, April Smith will be in town to talk about A Star for Mrs. Blake. She'll be at the Mercantile Library and Joseph Beth Booksellers on March 7th, and at the Main Library in downtown on March 8th. For information, you can visit wvxu.org.
Governor John Kasich is facing a tough re-election campaign and is wrestling with questions about public schools, the economy, and taxes. And all those are possible topics for one of his biggest speeches of the year, his annual address to state lawmakers. I'm State House Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Join me and a team of journalists as we analyze John Kasich's fourth State of the State speech from the Medina Performing Arts Center on this public radio station.
Monday evening at 7 on 91.7 WVXU.
Cincinnati Edition on 91.7. I'm Mark Purcell. We just heard from April Smith, the author of A Star for Mrs. Blake, the selection for this year's On the Same Page program at the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. And here to expand on the Same Page is Adult Services Programming Manager Kate Lawrence from the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Glad to have you back in the Cincinnati Edition studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's begin with On the Same Page. Explain to folks what it might be. I mean, during our discussion with April Smith, I kind of just mentioned it's a reading program, but
right.
Really expand on what the aim of the program is.
Well, on the same page is our community reading program, and it's in its 13th year, and it happens every February and March. And it's really meant to bring the entire community together through reading a book. So everyone reads the book at the same time, they discuss it, they attend events. So it's just a great way to bring the community together.
Well, how do you choose the books? I find it interesting from year to year to see what's popping up over the, you know, the course of the 13 years. You've mm-hmm. had quite a variety, and this was one I was not familiar with until I saw the On the Same Page.
Right, right. Well, there's a committee that chooses the book every year, and it's made up of people from the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County and also from some of our community partners. So Joseph Beth Booksellers was a part of it this year. And we all get together and we look at what's new, what's coming out, and talk about what might work well for the program. And we have a list of criteria, but basically what we want is a book that's timely, readable, and discussable. And this book really seemed to hit all those marks.
So it was the 100th anniversary of World War I that brought this to the forefront for this year's On the Same Page?
That was the reason why we first started looking at it. And then once we actually picked it up and read it, we realized, wow, this is a really compelling story. It's based on a lot of good research, but it's really a very readable book. There's a lot of different things that people can discuss in it. So it really sort of worked out well.
Well, I know you were no doubt part of the committee that chose this book, if I'm not mistaken.
I was, yes.
So what attracted you to A Star for Mrs. Blake?
For me personally, I'm a history person. I love history. So something that tied into the 100th anniversary of World War I was very interesting to me. But I also liked how the stories of the different women intertwined. And even if you're not necessarily a history person, it's just a great read. It's a great, interesting novel for anyone.
What discussion points do you think will be sparked the most? Not to give anything away for book discussion groups, but, what do you think the themes really the themes that shine through in this book?
Well, I think the book revolves around the stories of several different women and how they interact on their pilgrimage to visit their sons' graves in France. So it's really interesting to examine the differences between the women, but also their similarities and how they interact with each other. I think that's the most absorbing part of the book. And I think there's something that everyone can relate to because the characters are all so different.
So what kind of activities are going on? I mentioned when I was talking to author April Smith that she's coming to town March 7th and 8th
yes.
for appearances around the area. But what else is happening with On the Same Page that people can get involved in?
Well, first and foremost, we have our book discussions, which started this week at several library locations, and they extend through the end of March. So we have book discussions, and that's the easiest way to get involved is go to the library and check out the book and then go discuss it with your community. So we have those running through the end of March, and then we have some lectures going on. Pete Robinson, who's a professor at the College of Mount St. Joseph, is going to be at our Delhi Township branch giving a talk about the history of World War I. And then John Graham, who's a local historian who's written a book about the Gold Star Mothers' pilgrimages, is going to be speaking at our Green Township branch in March.
And this is meant to turn a lot more people on to reading, right?
Absolutely. It's really meant to celebrate the joy of reading and the joy of discussing a book and to stimulate community dialogue.
So across the 13 years that On the Same Page has been happening, I imagine it's been growing.
It has. It grows every year, and we do have a consistent following of people who participate every year. And, you know, in the fall, they start asking us, well, what's the On the Same Page book going to be? I want to read it in my book club. But then every year, depending on the topic of the book, we get some new people that join in because they're just interested in that topic. So it's a good way to keep the program going and expanding.
Well, you mentioned some of the discussion groups have started at the library branches already or mm-hmm. Earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
They like one day a week through the end of March, or what kind of schedule do they have? I know I imagine they're different, vary from location to location, but what kind of obligation, I guess, would a reader have if they joined a discussion group?
They vary from location to location. Typically, a book discussion will last about an hour, and typically they're either on Saturday afternoons or weekday evenings to give people who work an opportunity to come. But we also have some that are during the day. So for seniors and other groups that would like to come during the day, we have those as well. So there's really something for everyone, and they're happening all over the county. So there should be one at a location near everyone.
Any words of wisdom you have for the listeners when it comes to On the Same Page?
You know, even I think my biggest words of wisdom is, even if you think you may not be interested in the book, pick it up and read it, because it's something that, you know, even if it's not something that you're necessarily, you think you're necessarily interested in, you may be once you pick up the book. And if you go to a discussion, you're going to have a good talk about it, and you'll be able to debate all the points of the book that you liked or you didn't like.
So you may look at the cover and think, oh, that's not a book for me, but
crack
it open and find out.
Yep. See for yourself.
On the Same Page, the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County citywide reading program now underway, now in its 13th year. The book this year, A Star for Mrs. Blake by April Smith, available where books are sold or at your local library branch. We have a link to the library website with all the information about On the Same Page 2014 at our website, wvxu.org. Kate Lawrence, Adult Services Programming Manager at the Public Library of Cincinnati and Hamilton County. Thank you for being on Cincinnati Edition today.
Thank you.
Been listening to Cincinnati Edition, 91.7 WVXU. Producer was Pete Reitmeier with help from Kevin Reynolds. Thanks to our guests, Rachel Lyon, Kate Lawrence, and April Smith. William White composed the Cincinnati Edition theme music. Technical director for today's show was Kevin Rowinski. You can find archives and links for Cincinnati Edition stories online at wvxu.org, and you can follow us on Twitter as well. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for listening. Science Friday coming up on 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati and 88.5 WMUB Oxford, connecting you to a world of ideas.
Cincinnati officials will meet with bond rating agencies next month, hoping to maintain the city's current AA rating. But that may depend on council structurally balancing the budget and stabilizing the city's pension fund. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we talk with council members about the budget. We'll also hear about the Hamilton County Business Center, the highest-scored business incubator in Ohio. That's on Cincinnati Edition Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock on 91.7 WVXU.